No? Nobody? All right, well, then let's pray and let's rock and roll. Father God, I love you. I thank you for today. I thank you for just your word. Lord, it just it comes into our lives and it transforms our lives. I thank you for leaving us just an instruction manual on how to get things done. Because, Lord, if it was left to ourselves, we would be men most miserable. So, Lord, I do thank you for that. I thank you for the Passpoint class and just loving us and giving us just a sense of family. Lord, I thank you for those who are here and those who are working in the ministry. Lord, we pray for Chris and Abby and Baby Zona as they're just learning life as three now. So I pray that you would just bless them and just continue to just raise her up and that you would just be glorified in that. I pray that you would just bless your word today, Lord, as we just look into what a faithful father looks like, Lord, on Father's Day. I pray that this would be a day that we don't just think of Dad as the things that he does for us, but, Lord, just to think of Dad as what you have done for us, Lord, and just the example and ensample that you've given us. So I pray that you just speak to us today. Put me out of the way, Lord. I don't have anything to say, but I think your word does. So I pray that you would just be glorified in Christ's name. Amen. Okay, so I was thinking, as I was, you know, it's Father's Day, so generally I'm not much of a topical kind of guy. I just teach what the Word's got right there, and that's what we teach on, but it's Father's Day, and so I was, you know, I was kind of just thinking about, you know, where to teach at from, you know, I'm not really teaching through a book right now, so it kind of worked out well, and so I'm in the book of Job right now, so I'm behind. Some of you are like, oh, so he's behind. Yes, I'm behind in our reading. But I was thinking of Job, and so if you got your Bibles, turn to the book of Job, chapter 1. We're going to start there. And so I want to talk about the faith of a father displayed, because, man, if you were talking about a faithful man in the Bible, there's several of them, but Job is one. And so I want to kind of talk about that today, go through some of that. And so, you know, we always think of Mother's Day. Mother's Day rolls around, right? And we think about, you know, mom wears a lot of hats. You know, she's mom and she's the head chef and she's the, at my house, she's the teacher and she's the principal of the McGuire Institute of Higher Learning.
Headmaster.
Yes, you can be the headmaster. You can be whatever you want to be. You know, so she's wife and she's mom and she's got a lot of titles, right? And I don't think I could ever do what my wife does.
Chauffeur's a new one.
Yes, she's definitely become a chauffeur here lately. But so I was thinking about Dad. And so a lot of times Dad, you know, he just goes to work, right? He goes to work and he provides and that's all he is. But sometimes Dad wears a lot of hats as well. And I'm definitely not trying to toot my own horn because, like I said, I could never do what my wife does. But there's a lot of times that Dad, the father, wears a lot of hats, right? He's obviously a worker, and these are just things I'm thinking of off the top of my head. He's a servant, right? He needs to be, because if he's working, he needs to be serving, because that's how that works, you know. And he's Dad, and he's also, you know, the head mechanic at home, right? And he's Mr. Fix-It when something doesn't work right. And, you know, if there's a spider, oh my gosh, you know, don't call Brady. But Dad wears a lot of hats. And sometimes, you know, he's the leader. He should always be the leader, but I mean, at work, sometimes he's the leader. And there's a lot of things. You know, he's in ministry. He should be. There's a lot of things that go on. And here's the thing about Dad a lot of times is he tries to do it as low-key as possible. At least he should. You know, you never want to be the guy who's like, yeah, do you see all the things that I did? I'm like, yep, I did. And thanks for telling me about it. It's the guy who just does it, and he doesn't say anything, and he just goes about his day, and he tries not to burden anybody about it. That's the kind of guy we want to be like. It reminds me of, well, Christ, right? There's so many traits and attributes about Christ that you see, but yet he never had to say, hey, look what I did. You know, I read through the Gospels even now, and I'm like, wow, I didn't see that the first however many times I read it, right? It's so deep. That's the kind of father we need to be. You know, it doesn't need to be, you know, happy Father's Day because it's Father's Day. It should be just roll low-key and find some way to serve somebody today as Father's Day. And you might be like, well, that's not fair. Well, that's part of being Dad. So, you know, that's what you need to do. So anyway, as you get into the book of Job, I've got five traits, you know, you all know what happened to Job. But as I read through some of this, I just want to pull a few traits out, and you're like, oh, that's pretty simple stuff. Well, it is, But we'll get into it. So Job chapter 1, I want to read, just start reading. It says, "And there was a man in the name, or there was a man in the land of Uz, not Oz, but Uz, whose name was Job. And that man was perfect and upright." Now that perfect doesn't mean that he was sinless. It's a different kind of perfect, you know. Cross-reference that to the New Testament where it says that, you know, we're supposed to be perfect, not sinless, but perfect. He was perfect and upright, and one that feared God and eschewed evil. What's that word eschewed mean? Does anybody know? He diverted from, was always away from. That's kind of what it means. It's just a fancy King James word, right? Use that three times a day. That's your homework. Use the word eschewed. He eschewed evil. "And there were born unto him 7 sons and 3 daughters. His substance was also 7,000 sheep." That's a lot of sheep. "And 3,000 camels, and 500 yoke of oxen, and 5 she-asses in a very great household. So that this man was the greatest of all the men of the east. And his sons went and feasted in their houses, every one his day, and sent and called for their 3 sisters to eat and drink with them. And it was so, when their days of feasting were gone about, that Job sent and sanctified them, and rose up early in the morning, and offered burnt offerings according to the number of them all. For Job said, it may be that my sons have sinned and cursed God in their hearts. Thus did Job continually." So, you see what he's doing there is he's sacrificing for his kids, even though they're not doing anything wrong. He's standing in the gap. He is playing the advocate for them, right? Job is, he's doing what he's supposed to be doing, right? It's like he's like the modern day, get it done guy, right? He's wearing a lot of hats as well, right? He's a father. You read that, you know, he's got 10 children. You read later in chapter 2 that he's a husband to a maybe not so awesome wife at times, but we'll get to that later. But he's a husband. He says he's got 7,000 sheep, so he's a shepherd, and he's got camels, so he's a herder or whatever, and he's got oxen, and he's got a lot of time. He's got a lot going on, but you know what he still has time for? Standing in the gap for his children, right? It says that right there. They didn't ask for it. It doesn't even say that they're out, you know, living like hell in the world, you know? It just says that they're, the only thing that it says is that they're, you know, just eating and drinking. But you know what he's still doing? He's sacrificing for them. You know, obviously, I don't think you need to go home for your kids today and offer burnt offerings, you know, unless it's, you know, hamburgers on the grill later this afternoon, Father's Day. But you know what you can do? You can pray for your kids. You need to be praying for your kids. If you're not actively praying for your kids, standing in the gap, there's a problem, right? So here's the first thing the faith of a father. He's faithful before the storm, right? And so you know what's getting ready to happen. So he's faithful before the storm. This is a lot of like today's Christianity. When things are good, man, the father's on fire. When things are good, the father is just getting it done just like he's supposed to be. He is, you know, he's standing in the gap. He's doing all these things, you know. And I'm not saying Job is, but a lot of times you'll see men who they're like a return on investment type of Christian, right? As long as I'm getting a good return on my investment, right? I'm spending X amount of time at church every week, so as long as God's, you know, taking care of me, then everything's all good, right? I think that maybe is how Job's wife was, but we can talk about that later on because she wasn't real happy. But that's not the kind of guy that Job was. You know, he was faithful before the storm. We've got to start there. If you're not faithful then you're never going to be faithful. If you're not faithful in the good times, when things are easy, you're never going to be. But you've got to be faithful to start with. You've got to be faithful when things are great. Because if you're not, then what's getting ready to happen? Things aren't going to be so great. Right? He's faithful. Verse 6. "Now there was a day when the sons of God came to present themselves before the Lord, and Satan came also among them." So we're talking about angels here. I'm not going to get into the deep things that are happening. I'm just going to surface level this thing. If you want to study the book of Job, we can get into it, but there's some mind-blowing stuff going on in the book of Job. But anyway, so the angels are present. So Satan's with him. "And the Lord said unto Satan, whence comest thou? And Satan answered the Lord and said, from going to and fro in the earth and walking up and down in it." Now, I don't want to get super deep in this, but this still happens today. Satan is very active in the affairs of this world and being in the middle of it. Just know that. Because that's what he's saying. And the Lord said unto Satan. Now, I always want to be, you know, the faithful guy in the Bible. I don't really want to be thrown under the bus like this, you know. And the Lord said unto Satan, "Hast thou considered my servant Job, that there is none like him in the earth, a perfect and upright man, one that feareth God and escheweth evil?" Now, I'm really glad, if I was Job, that you think highly of me. But do we really need to, like, wave it in Satan's face? Right? I'm just thinking that out loud. Then Satan answered the Lord and said, "Does Job fear God for naught?" You know, he's always got something to say. Has not thou made a hedge about him? Right? That's why... That right there is where we get the pray a hedge of protection around people, right? You know, because obviously Satan's never heard of hedge trimmers, right? Because so we pray for a hedge of protection, right? And so it has placed a hedge about him. And about his house, and about all that he hath on every side, and the house blessed the work of his hands, and his substance is increased in the land. So basically, Satan's like, well, yeah, he likes you because things are great, right? Everything he touches turns to gold. Why wouldn't he glorify you? Well, you've got to start somewhere, right? You've got to be faithful when things are good. You know, it's not your fault that things are good, so you need to be faithful then. But here's what Satan says. He says, "But put forth thy hand now, and touch all that he hath, and curse, and he will curse thee to thy face." That's what the devil thinks of you, man. That if things aren't just perfect in your life, you're going to curse God. And the thing you got to ask yourself is it true? Because, well, with a lot of guys, I think it is. I'm not... Yeah. And the Lord said unto Satan, "Behold, all that he hath is in thy power, only upon himself, but not thine hand." So Satan went forth from the presence of the Lord. So God's like, you know what? I think more highly of Job than you do, Satan. So here, I tell you what. You can do whatever you want to him. You just can't hurt him. You can't do anything to him. And Satan's like, okay, I've got some things in mind, right? I've got some things in mind. Here's the second thing that you'll see displayed in a faithful father. He's faithful enough to cause a storm. He's faithful enough to cause a storm, right? If you're not faithful enough to be doing enough for God, for Satan to say, you know what, I can't even touch that guy because, you know, God's all over his life. Then there's a problem. If you're not that faithful, if you're not... You might say, well, I've never really had any problems in my life, right? Things are just really good. Are you doing anything for God? Because it seems to me like the more that I get engaged in the battle, the more things go wrong at times. The more adversity there is. That's just the way it works. You know, you'll be in discipleship, or you'll be counseling somebody, or you'll be talking to somebody, and... You know, this comes up. It's like, you know, the more that you do for God, the more the adversary is not going to like it. And they're like, well, I've never really had any problems in my life. And, you know, I usually just say, well, praise the Lord. But I'm really thinking, how involved are you? Because it seems like to me, anybody I've ever seen that really got involved in the battle that's going on, there's adversity, right? There's problems at times. Man, there's some really bad things that happen at times. And it's like, some people are like, well, I don't want to do with that. Well, that's part of what we're called to do, right? You know, Romans 12:1 says to present your life a living sacrifice. It doesn't say your extra time and, you know, the things that are easy. It says to present your life, give everything that you've got. That's what we're supposed to do. A faithful father, he's faithful enough to cause a storm. That doesn't mean he's out looking for a fight. Don't get me wrong. There's some guys that's just what they're looking for, right? No, but I'm not afraid to cause a storm when it comes to something of the things of God. You know, if it means that me being faithful causes a problem at work, or me being faithful causes a problem at church, God forbid, or me being faithful causes a problem in the world, well, then I guess there's going to be a problem, because me being faithful isn't going to change. After knowing what Christ did for me and my family and the people that I love, and really for everybody in the world, I'm not going to back down. And that's the kind of man we have to be. You want to be a faithful father? There's times that I think you could ask my kids, especially my boys right now, because they are almost, one's almost 14, and the other one's 15 and a half going on, you know, yeah, we'll just leave that. They think they've got some things figured out in the world, right? Praise the Lord. I'm pretty sure I thought I was the same way when I was that age, right? You could ask them, and they would tell you, oh yeah, dad's fine, right? He makes us work all the time, this, that, and the other. At the end of the day, I would hope to think that they would say, you know what, at least he was faithful. He never let the work or the things of the world or everything else that was important to him come before the things of God. Right? That's what I want to be known for. Right? I don't want to be known for, you know, hey, do you remember that guy? Who cares? I want my kids and the people that I knew to remember me as somebody who just was simply faithful to God. Whatever that means. You know, and that's all I want. That's the only thing that I desire, is to be faithful. Right? And so if that means I never get my name written up there, praise the Lord, because I don't want nobody to know my name. You know, I don't want that at all. I just want to be faithful. Are you faithful enough to cause a storm? Right? Because that's what's getting ready to happen. Job was faithful enough to cause a storm. So reading on. Verse 13. Getting ready to, this is the start of a really bad day. Let's just say that. And there was a day. Doesn't say a lot of days, a string of days, right? I've had a string of what seems like bad luck at my house here recently. It seems like everything that we have touched has not been, it's just been one thing after another. And it's just like, I don't even know what to say anymore. It almost makes me laugh. But and there was a day, not a string of days, there was a day when the sons, when his sons and daughters were eating and drinking wine in their eldest brother's house, and there came a messenger unto Job, and said, the oxen were plowing and the asses feeding beside them, and the Sabians fell upon them and took them away. Yea, and they have slain all thy servants with the edge of the sword, and I only am escaped to tell thee. He's like, what? They're all gone? Yeah. While he was yet speaking, there came also another, and said, the fire of God has fallen from heaven, and hath burned up the sheep and thy servants, and consumed them, and I am only escaped to tell thee. Like, really? It's just pile it on. Verse 17, and when he was speaking, so he couldn't even get the words out. Here comes the next guy. There came also another, and said, the Chaldeans made out three bands and fell upon the camels, and have carried them away, and slain thy servants with the edge of the sword, and I am only escaped to tell thee. Everything I've got is gone. And then, so, this is where we could be like, you could take everything that I've got, right? Well, that sucks, but you could take everything that I've got. At least I've got my family. Right? At least I've got my family. That's what most men would say. I would hope that's what most men would say. Well, then here it goes even farther. While he was yet speaking, there came also another and said, thy sons and thy daughters were eating and drinking wine in their eldest brother's house. And behold, there came a great wind from the wilderness and smote the four corners of the house, and it fell upon the young man, and they are dead, and I only escaped alone to tell thee. That's a rough day, right? I've had some rough days at work before, but that's a rough day. That right there, and not even that right there, one of those that right there's, right? One of those things, one of those is enough to cripple most men's faith. That right there, any one of those things is enough to cripple most men. And you know what happens when you cripple most men? You cripple the family. That's just what happens. They'll never come back to church. They'll never go back to God. They're mad at God because God allowed this to happen. God allowed that to happen. That this happened, that happened. And they never stop to think that the same way that there's a God in the world, there's an adversary in the world. Right? And yes, God allowed it. And you'll see why after a while. But any one of those things right there is enough to cripple most men. Read on just a little bit farther. But here's what Job does. This is what I like about him. Then Job arose and rent his mantle. Now that mantle is kind of like a cape or a cloak, or that's what that means. That's something that they wore at the time. And he rent his mantle and shaved his head and fell down upon the ground and cursed God. No, wait, that's not what it says. It says that he worshipped. And said, this is what he said. Now this is key. Men, ladies, whoever needs to hear this. This is where it needs to be. Naked came I out of my mother's womb, and naked shall I return thither. The Lord gave, and the Lord hath taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. In all this, Job sinned not, nor charged God foolishly. Of everything that he could have said or done, obviously, there's some anger. Rent his mantle. He's frustrated. God's not mad that he's frustrated. It's okay to be frustrated. It's okay to be angry. Right? It says, what's the same Proverbs? Be angry and sin not. Right? It's okay to be mad. As long as it doesn't turn into sin. There's a lot going on in this dude's life. There's a lot of things, a lot of directions he could have went. You know what he does? He realizes at the end, he's still just simply a child of God. Right? Different type of child of God than we are now. We know it's Old Testament compared to New Testament. At the end of the day, he knows if it wasn't for God, he wouldn't be here in the first place. Who are we to question what God does? Does that mean it's really hard when you hear something tragically happening to a child, or something happens in somebody's family, or this person's got cancer? I mean, we can have that conversation. There's an answer to that question. It's hard. But you know what we're supposed to do as men, as Christians? Fall on our face and worship. Because that's the only thing we can do. When you can do nothing else, because I guarantee if that was to happen, if my family was gone, there's a lot of things, I couldn't do anything. But you know what the only thing you can do is fall on your face and worship. That's all you can do. You know, it's easy to be a faithful father when things are great, right? God's blessing me, God's protecting me, everything I touch is, you know, I've got 7,000 sheep. I mean, ain't nobody got more sheep than me, right? But when things get tough, what are you going to do? All you can do is fall on your face and worship. He's faithful during the storm. It's easy to be faithful when it's hard, or when it's easy. It's easy to be faithful when it's easy, when things are great. It's easy to be faithful when you're causing problems, right? Yeah, I'll stand and fight this fight. Okay, well, now it's time to fight. Oh, well, I wasn't really interested, right? Right. As a lost man, I used to be that way. I used to think that I was 6 foot tall and bulletproof. Right. Until... I'm not even going to touch that. Just skip right over that one, right? A faithful father, he's faithful during the storm. Even when most people would say, I don't know how you're doing it. I don't either. I don't need to know how I'm doing it. Huh? Oh, I thought you... All you can do is fall on your face and worship. It's okay to ask why. It's okay to be frustrated. It's okay to be mad. It's not okay to turn your back on God. A man of faith stays faithful no matter what. That's hard to do. And I'm saying, this goes for the ladies as well, obviously. But, you know, as men, as fathers, you know, if you thought you were coming in and you were going to get a "You're a great father" Father's Day message, sorry. Father's Day means that there's a lot of weight on your shoulders. You need to bear it. That's what we're called to do, right? God has entrusted you with children. You need to bear the burden for them. That's what we're called to do. Moving on, because I'm going to run out of time, right? So he's faithful during the storm. Get into chapter 2. And there came a day, there was a day when the sons of God came to present themselves before the Lord again. And Satan came also among them again to present himself before the Lord. And the Lord said unto Satan, "From whence comest thou?" And Satan answered the Lord and said, "From going to and fro in the earth and walking up and down in it." And the Lord said unto Satan, now at this point, if I was Job, I'd be like, really? I mean, really? And the Lord said unto Satan, "Hast thou considered my servant Job again?" Really? "That there is none like him on earth, a perfect and upright man, one that feareth God and escheweth evil. And he still holdeth fast his integrity, although thou movest me against him to destroy him without a cause." There doesn't have to be a cause. God doesn't have to have a reason. He's God. Just know that. And Satan answered the Lord and said, "Skin for skin, yea, all that a man hath will he give for his life. But put forth now thine hand now, and touch his bone and his flesh, and he will curse to thee thy face." And the Lord said unto Satan, "Behold, he is in thine hand, but save his life." It's like, fine, if you want to, if you think that because you hurt him, he's going to curse me after all that, you know, most men would say, whatever. You know, you can do whatever you want to me. Just don't mess with my family. Well, at this point, you've already got his family. So what else can you do to him? But Satan, he thinks he's got something figured out. So went Satan forth from the presence of the Lord and smote Job with sore boils from the sole of his feet up until the crown of his crown, meaning top of his head. Now, we're not talking about chicken pox here. We're talking about, like, for real bad going on. Like, yeah, I mean, not good. Not even going to try to paint that picture for you. Here's how bad it was. And he took him a potsherd, meaning like a piece of clay pot type of thing, right? It's like, to scrape himself withal. And he sat down among the ashes. Like, that's how bad this was. Things are not good in the life of Job right now. Not good. Then said his wife unto him, man, she's a really good woman. She said, Job, I know things are bad, but we need to stay faithful, right? We just need to keep serving God. We just need to keep doing. No, wait a minute. That's not what she said. That's not what she said. Dost thou still retain thine integrity? Curse God and die. Now that's rough, right? You can take a lot of things from me. I can take a lot of shots from the world. I can go through a lot of stuff. One of the hardest things, and I've never really had to endure it, but the hardest thing for me to ever endure was to know that my wife wasn't faithful beside me. Because I know that no matter what happens, I at least have her. And she knows that she's at least got me. And then, you know, obviously we've got Christ, but, you know, that right there would be close to the straw that breaks the camel's back, right? Because for my wife to say, I'm done with this Jesus thing, would be really hard for me to take. And I would just have to be like, well, you're done talking because that's not an option, right? Or something along those lines. I don't know. That's not even an option, right? She says, curse God and die. But he said unto her, woman, no, that's not what he said. That's not what he said. But he said unto her, thou speakest as one of the foolish women speaketh. What? Shall we receive good at the hand of God? And shall we not receive evil? And all this did not Job sin with his lips. I think it's interesting to note that this time it says he didn't sin with his lips, and the first time it just says that he sinned not. Meaning, I think God knows that when his wife's going to talk like that, generally a man wants to talk back. But he doesn't say anything. He doesn't say anything. He just holds his tongue, right? Sometimes guys, men, fathers, the best thing you can do is just hold your tongue, right? Not say anything. Not do anything. Right? And then, I'm not going to read the rest of the chapter, but then Job's three friends show up, right? He's got his three best friends. Man, these are some upright, standing dudes. They come, and the best thing that they do is they don't say anything for a week. That's the best thing they do. They should have left after that. Because then after that, they all decide that they've got the answer to Job's problems. If he would just get rid of the sin in his life, then God would quit. And so instead of just comforting him, they want to accuse him. Good friends, right? Good friends. Here's the next thing you'll see in a faithful man. He's faithful throughout the storm. Because guess what? Sometimes a storm isn't just real quick blowing through. Sometimes it lasts for a minute. You know, the first wave came through and things were hard. It got even harder, right? Now his wife's not on board. Then he's got his three good buddies, and, well, you see how that turned out. It's rough. You want to be a faithful father? You want to be a faithful man of God? You need to be faithful throughout. Because guess what? Things are going to get hard. And then after that, they're going to get harder. You thought I was going to say better. They're going to get harder. And things are going to get worse. And you're going to want to give up. You're going to want to throw in the towel. You're going to want to say, forget it. I'm taking a break. Because that's what... We don't ever say as Christians, I'm done, I quit. We don't do that. We say, I'm going to take a break for a minute. And then you take a break until you die. Right? Because that's what happens. We don't ever come back. You have to be faithful throughout the storm. We've got to be men of God that are willing to stand up and be faithful throughout. Throughout. And you know what happens when you are? Sometimes, now, throughout might be more than a couple days. Just not to burst your bubble. It might be more than a couple weeks. It might be more than a couple years. But in the end, God is faithful. Fast forward to the Job chapter 42. So basically, I skipped 40 chapters of Job's really good friends giving him really lousy advice on how he really should just get right with God and things will be good. And then there's a couple chapters where Job actually speaks with the Lord, and you know, there's some deep stuff in there, right? But for the most part, you've just skipped 40 chapters of really lousy advice. So, chapter 42, pick it up there. Here's our last point. Then Job answered the Lord, because they're having this conversation, and said, "I know that thou canst do everything, and that no thought can be withholden from thee. Who is he that hideth counsel from knowledge? Therefore I have uttered that I understood not, things too wonderful for me, which I knew not. Hear, I beseech thee, and I will speak. I will demand of thee, and I will declare thou unto me. I have heard of thee by hearing of the ear, but now my eyes seeth thee." That right there is the answer to a lot of the things that just went on. That right there is the answer to a lot of the problems that you're going through in life. That right there is the answer to why most semi-mature Christians either never become mature or finally do. We can hear all of our life of how great God is. We can hear how He brought me through the storm, how He got me through this trial, how He did all this. But guess what? Until you actually go through the storm yourself, you're never going to know it. You're not only going to hear how bad things can get in other people's lives and think, "Ooh, that sucks. I don't want nothing to do with that." For so long before God's going to allow you to endure some of it. You know why? Because He likes to see you struggle. No, absolutely not. My luck, that would be like when the recorder stops. He wants you to see what you're made of. God knows what you're made of. God knows what's inside of you. There's been things that God has brought me to, and I'm like, "There's no way I can do that." And eventually, I struggle my way through it, and I'm like, "Wow, I didn't know I had it in me." And God's like, "Yeah, isn't that cool? Now get up and get busy." He wants you to stretch your faith. And guess what? You don't stretch your faith by sitting at home. You don't stretch your faith, I hate to burst anybody's bubble, by sitting in the pew or the chair, the soft cushy chairs that we have. You stretch your faith by getting out and doing it, by getting in the ministry, by being involved, by seeing what God's got going on. That's how you stretch your faith. That's how you become faithful. That right there is the answer to why we go through this. Job's like, "I have heard of thee by the hearing of the ear, but now my eye seeth thee." Now I've seen some things. "Wherefore I abhor myself and repent in dust and ashes." He's like, "Everything I got, you can have." And it was so that after the Lord had spoken these words to Job, that the Lord said unto Eliphaz, the Temanite, this is one of his really great friends, right? He's got some really good ones. "My wrath is kindled against thee." Oh, wait a minute. What? "And against thy two friends, for you have not spoken of me the thing that is right, as my servant Job hath." Notice here in the next couple verses how many times he says, "my servant Job." I hope that's what he says of me someday. My servant. Right? That's all I want to be. "Therefore, take unto thee now 7 bullocks and 7 rams, and go unto my servant Job, and offer unto yourselves a burnt offering. And my servant Job shall pray for you." Does God know that you'll pray for your buddies? God even knew He would. "For him will I accept, lest I deal with you after your folly, and that you have spoken of me the thing which I did, like my servant Job." Did which is right, like my servant Job. So Eliphaz, the Temanite, and Bildad, the Shuhite, and Zophar, the Naamathite, I don't know how this, those guys, went and did according to the Lord commanded them, and the Lord accepted Job. And the Lord turned the captivity of Job. When did He do it? When did things turn around for Job? When he just kept serving. When he just kept doing what he knew was right. Not when he was sitting at home mad at God, saying, "I'm done with this church thing, I'm done with this God thing, I'm done with all of this, right? You guys can keep..." No, that's not what he did. You know when God finally realized that Job was as faithful as he thought he was? When he just kept doing it. when he had no reason to, when he just kept doing it. Here's when things changed. When he prayed for his friends, also the Lord gave Job twice as much as he had before. Things were still rough up until this point. And you know what Job did? He didn't say, "Dude, you guys are not helping," right? That might be my words. "You guys are not helping." You know what he says? I'll just pray for you guys. I don't want God to be mad at you too. Right? I don't want God to take it out on you too. I'll pray for you. God sees that his heart is completely sincere. Are you praying for your kids? Are you praying for your wife? Are you praying for your coworkers? The people that are not helping the situation sometimes? Right? Are you praying for those guys? Because that's when God's going to see the earth. And I don't mean, "Oh, well, now I've got to go pray for these guys because Jason said so." Don't do it because I said so. I promise. You know when God knows that your heart's sincere? When you're doing it, even though you have no reason, no worldly reason to do it. Right? When you have no worldly reason to just continue to... He had every right to say, "I'm done with you guys." Right? "Get out." He says he prayed for him. And God restored double. Right? When you're faithful, God will come through. You might say, "Well, he hasn't yet. Are you still breathing?" Oh, okay, well then, you're right, he hasn't yet. God will come through. It might not be in the way you want. It might not look like you think it will. God will come through. He always does, right? And you might say, "Well, you don't understand what I've lost. You don't understand what happened. You don't understand..." For every one of those, "Why did this happen? How did this happen?" God's got 10 other reasons why it happened. And maybe you got the short end of the stick this time. But maybe 1,000 people came to Christ because of it. You might say, "Well, how did that happen?" Because of this one tragic incident, right, that nobody understands why happened, one person heard the gospel. And that one person gets on fire for God and turns on the next Billy Graham. How do you know? Who are we to know? Who are we to question? Right? Here's the last thing. He's faithful after the storm. And you know what? He's probably more faithful after the storm. Because he's been through it, and now he knows that God's going to bring him through it all the time. Here's how this thing wraps up. I know you guys know this already, but... "Then came there unto all his brethren and his sisters..." Well, where were they the whole time? "And all that they had been acquainted before, and he did eat bread with him in his house, and they bemoaned him and comforted him over all the evil that the Lord had brought upon him." Where were they the rest of the time? I don't know. It just makes me wonder. "Every man also gave him a piece of money, and everyone an earring of gold." Well, isn't that nice? Right? Sometimes, and this is just what we do, right? Sometimes I don't want your stuff. I don't want what you can give me. Just try to understand, right? Just try to understand what I'm going through, what we're going through. You know? Just try to understand. "So the Lord blessed the latter end of Job more than his beginning. For he had 14,000 sheep." Oh my gosh. "And 6,000 camels and 1,000 yoke of oxen and 1,000 she asses. And he also had 7 sons and 3 daughters." So I don't think these were the same children, but he had different children. At one point, I think I was taught that he got his kids back, but that didn't, that's not how it went. But he did get the same amount of children back. I'm sure the same wife. I don't know that she left. I'm not going to guess. I don't think his wife left. She was just, maybe she learned from his faithfulness. We'll just hope that that's the case. So anyway. "And he called the name of the first, Jemima, and the name of the second, Kezarai, and the name of the third, Karen Hapuch." Anyway. "In all the land there were no women found so fair as the daughters of Job. And their father gave them their inheritance among their brethren. After this, Job lived 140 years and saw his sons and his sons' sons into the fourth generation." You know, when you're faithful through the storm, when you're faithful before it and after it and through it, you know, when you are a faithful man, when you're a faithful child of God, he will grow you. And you might say, "Why is this happening? I'm sure Job thought, why is this happening? Well, here's why. Because there's something going on. There's a war for souls every day, and you're a part of it. And if you're going to be a part of it, obviously, the adversary is not okay with that. So there's a war. You've got to be faithful. And you may never get to see why you had to go through it until eternity. I'm sure God will be glad to explain it to you. And I'm sure He'll have way more reasons you're going to say, oh, right? Until then, just be faithful. And as a father, that should be the one thing that you're looking forward to, is your kids saying, my dad was faithful. Right? That's the only thing I want. I don't care that my kids say my dad was a hard worker. Who cares, right? All that gets you is a hurt back. I'm telling you. I mean, those are good qualities to have. Man, I want my kids... You should want your kids to say, my dad's faithful. Because you know what? Our dad's faithful. Even if your worldly dad is no good at all, or even if he's the greatest in the world, he's not as good as God. Because he's faithful. Right? So go out with that today. Be faithful. That's all you need to be. And for the other 364 days of the year when people aren't like, hey, happy Father's Day, Dad, right? Be faithful then too. And just keep putting the hats on, whichever one it is, whether you're a pilot or a conductor or dad or husband or whatever that is, and you just keep doing what you do and be faithful. Because that's what God wants you to do. Alright, let's pray. We'll get out of here. Sorry, I am late. I try not to ever be late. Father God, I love you. I thank you for the day. I thank you for your word, Lord. I thank you for just faithful men in the Bible like Job, Lord. And there's so many others, but I pray that you would just use this as just an example, Lord, that there are going to be hard times in life. There's going to be struggles. There's going to be times when we don't understand, but we don't need to, God. We just need to trust you and be faithful. I pray that you would just use this, just bless the men in the room, the fathers in the room, even their wives, that they would just be faithful men, faithful wives to their husbands, and that at the end of the day, that you would look at their marriages and you would look at their lives and say that they are glorifying me, because that's all we're here to do, Lord, is to bring glory to you. So I pray that you would just send us out this week as lights in a dark world, that you would use us, that you would give us doors of opportunity, Lord, that you would just allow us to walk through them, that we'd be bold in our faith, and that you would just bless the things that we do for you, Lord. I pray that you would just be glorified in our lives, and I pray that you would just continue to bless the preparations for VBS, Lord, and more importantly than that, Lord, that you would just to bless the kids, prepare the hearts now, prepare the hearts of the parents, Lord, and that you would just be magnified. It wouldn't be another thing that we do, but it would be another way that we could glorify you. So I pray this all in Christ's name. All right, one thing that I did not...